And I mean, couldn't that guy just bang those cans on a rock? Anyway, let's start this episode.
High Mystery.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of High Mystery.
Holiday edition.
Hello.
That's right. It's the holidays.
Yeah.
Time to be joyous and festive.
I wish we had some jingle bells to, you know. Ching, ching,
ching, ching, ching. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Merry Christmas.
Festivus.
A Festivus. For the rest
of us. Whatever you celebrate, we just wish you a happy that.
Yeah.
This is the podcast where we smoke weed and talk about mysteries. I'm Colin.
I'm Tristan.
I'm Robert.
This week we have a very special guest in the studio. Go ahead and tell us your name.
Hi, I'm Leanne.
Leanne and I have been doing comedy together for years, and she's absolutely amazing and hilarious.
I always laugh, you know, watching your guys' show. So
absolute delight.
We're delighted to have her in the studio today.
I am delighted to be here.
We're going to be rocking out this Christmas special with all kinds of special
yummy
blunts.
Goodies.
We've got Tristan rolled a Bila, also known as a double blunt.
Short for Be Legit for anyone in the Bay. I believe that's where I grew up. That's what we called them.
The Yay area.
Yeah.
The Yay area?
I never did any of the Yay, but.
That's what they call it.
Those it is what they call it. There's a nation up there.
Lots of blow.
Blow and E.
Oh.
Yep.
All right. I'm fortunate I didn't grow up in an area that had a nickname like that.
I mean, I got by with just smoking a bunch of weed and mushrooms.
Sure.
Tristan's the true stoner this round.
Yeah.
He has a nickname for it.
Yeah.
This is the double blunt.
And I also put hash balls in there and a bunch of keef. So it should be quite the doozy.
Yeah.
It should be a Christmas miracle right there in that blunt.
Right. If we don't fall asleep, it will be a Christmas miracle.
Yeah. I've got a normal Packwood, or not a normal Packwoods. It's not normal. It's just, it's not any of those things. I've got a normal King Palm, and it's filled with Gushers, one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
It's always purple, always smells great. And then I've coated the outside with some Larry OG wax. So that should, like, drip down into the blunt and make it extra potent.
Mm.
And then, Rob, you want to tell them about what your special thing you brought?
Yes. I brought a LeBron James Packwoods.
You got to say it like that, right?
LeBron James.
That's just how you pronounce the name.
Okay,
yeah,
sure.
Exactly. It's when he moved out here to L.A., so it's all Lakers colored and
gold and purple.
Yeah.
It's true. It's got 2 grams of hybrid in there.
Who?
No saliva on the outside. It's for medical use only, apparently.
Thick.
Yeah.
It's thick as your.
And it's by trees or something.
Yeah, Trees Game X is the brand.
Trees Game X.
It's got wax, hash, and keef inside.
Yeah, it's a monster. Yeah. But here we go.
As we say.
Is that a glass tip?
Light that.
There's a glass tip on it. It's so horrendous.
Light that blunt.
It's so enormous.
Keep it classy.
Whoa.
Yeah, the glass tip is nice. It makes it smoke pretty well every time.
And it gives you a firm grip. Like, there's no fear of, like, someone squeezing the crutch too tight and then, you know, making it unsmokable.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't know my own strength.
Well, yeah, you're just like, oh, it's so good.
Hopefully you don't snap that glass in your fingers. That would be the worst. Did we decide who's going first?
I don't think we
did. Oh, we should also let people know that we do have an audience member today.
Oh, yeah. We do have an audience member with us in the studio today. He's smoking and enjoying laughter with us.
Yeah.
Why don't you give us a hey?
Hey.
There it is.
We asked for one, hey, he gave us two.
So what are we doing? Who's first?
You
decide, Rob. It's up to you.
Colin,
make a wise decision.
You go first.
Okay. All right. Today we're doing the story of the spontaneous combustion of Matilda Rooney.
My God.
South Park solved it, right? Just holding in your farts too long?
Which...
It's funny. I literally, that's the second time I've heard that today, talking about spontaneous combustion. It's the fart problem.
Yeah, it's all that methane buildup.
You know, when you're first starting to date somebody, you got to hold it in.
Yeah, and then you spontaneously combust, and you're gone.
Yep, it's a real catch-22.
I don't. It's a test. Nice. Can you handle the heat? Not get out of the kitchen, you know?
That's true, you know? It's not like you're going to hold them in for the rest of the relationship, so you might as well get the, you know.
Get used to it now.
Tear the Band-Aid off early, as the saying goes.
Just see what it smells like.
Okay, so Christmas, 1885.
Nice, I like when you set the scene.
Seneca, Illinois.
Oh, man.
John Larson, a farmhand, spends Christmas with his employers, Patrick and Matilda Rooney.
Mm-hmm.
So they have, you know, a great Christmas Eve night together. They drink all kinds of whiskey. They're, like, pounding it down all night.
As you do.
As you do. It's Christmas Eve. It's time to celebrate.
Although you think it would be rum. That's more festive, I think.
Sure, I agree. It's more holiday feel. Or, like, adult eggnog.
Yeah.
Spiked eggnog.
But I guess whiskey's also good.
But, yeah, so they drink a whole bunch, and John goes upstairs and goes to bed. So,
okay.
Night's over, you know.
Yeah, they drink and go to sleep, as one does.
In the middle of the night, John wakes up, has a coughing fit, and has difficulty breathing for a while. But he's super drunk. He just attributes it to whatever. He doesn't know. He just goes back to sleep.
Okay.
So he wakes up on Christmas morning, and he wakes up and sees that there is soot on his pillow. Yeah, so he wakes up in the morning and there's little flakes of, you know, gray burnt soot on his pillow.
All right. Like there's a wildfire. He left his window open. Some ash got inside.
Somebody ashed on him.
Yeah.
Right.
Somebody was smoking.
His wife's smoking blunts next to him. Just ashed on his
legs. Staring at him sleep.
Little bitch. Oh, no. He partied like it was 1899.
Right. How dare you go to sleep before me?
So he wakes up and he goes downstairs. And he's shocked to find Patrick is dead beside his bed.
Oh.
Yeah. And Matilda is at first nowhere to be found. So she's not in the bedroom. She's not upstairs. She's just missing.
So, okay, this guy is in a different room. So he got ash on himself.
The layout of the house is like when you think of like an old school farmhouse. So there's four rooms downstairs and like an upstairs attic space or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So there's the kitchen, which is right next to their bedroom, and then probably like a sitting room and then maybe a washroom. It might be outside. I don't know. It's 1885.
Sure.
Yeah. But he goes downstairs, finds Patrick dead, finds Matilda missing.
But, like, no obvious cause of death? Like, no, there's not blood everywhere, knife, like, in his face, or, like...
The only evidence he has at this point is the little bit of soot on his pillow.
For sure.
Hmm. Okay. That somebody's missing, and there's soot on his pillow, and one person's dead.
Yeah. So he goes into the kitchen to inspect further, and what he finds there is a 2.5 by 3 foot charred hole in the middle of the kitchen floor. It's right next to a half-burnt candle on the table next to it. And in the middle of the hole in the floor is a pile of ash. And in front of it are 2 charred human feet, still with their shoes on.
So the rest of the body's missing, but the feet remain with shoes on them. Got some fucking Nikes on those.
The shoes were flame retardant. You know?
Yeah, right?
So everything else went up, but the
presumably
shoes.
This is all that's left of Matilda Rooney.
Wow. So her clothes weren't fireproof.
DNA?
It's 1885.
Yeah.
It's 1885.
Did they pull the feet out of the shoes to inspect that they were at least...
A woman's shoes?
Yeah.
Well, at this point, they call in...
A woman's feet.
From, I think it's Port Ford, Michigan. They call in Dr. Floyd Clendenin. To do, like, a proper evaluation of everything in the house. That's Floyd Clendenin.
Clendenin.
I just like that name. I don't know. It's weird. I've never heard a name like that before.
Clendenin.
Yeah. So he finds in the heap of rubble, in the heap of ashes, rather,
yeah.
A skull, a cervical bone, some vertebrae, 6 inches of femur, and the 2 human feet still in their shoes. The 160-pound woman is presumably reduced to 12 pounds of ash.
In the middle of the kitchen.
In the middle of the kitchen. And, let's see, what was I going to say? Oh, and he also noted that there was a layer of sooty, greasy dirtiness on the walls of the house.
So, kind of like fat.
Kind of like what you'd expect. Greasy
fat from, when it explodes.
Like if you like lit, like had a grease fire and,
There was no blood or viscera?
No blood or viscera that we know of. Just ash and the little bits of bone fragments and
so
stuff like
that.
So it
was burned so hot. Oh, man.
I mean, I wonder if they're trying to like presume that the amount of alcohol she had in her body like helped.
That's exactly it. Yeah. That's exactly what they say. Mm-hmm. It's assumed she spontaneously combusted at 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit. Because that's what it would take in order to burn those
the bones and stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
Huh.
Someone who tries to hide bodies a lot, it's hard to get rid of the bones.
And there's no other significant like residue of fire. There's other than the hole in the floor and like the feet, obviously, and you know the little bit of ashy sootiness on the walls.
So the house didn't go up in flames when it was burning that hot.
Exactly.
I mean, I guess they're assuming that it was just so hot, so fast, like just, and then your ash, like almost
that's
incinerized.
The idea. Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's the idea with like spontaneous combustion.
Yeah, it's not like a slow burn. Like
it's not
combust.
Eventual
you don't
combustion.
Catch on fire. You combust.
It's spontaneous combustion, not eventual combustion. And yeah, there was a lot of rumors for a long time that it was like divine retribution. For drinking so much on Christmas Eve.
Oh.
I know, right?
Well.
Or, you know.
That a lot more people would be spontaneously combusting, right?
That's right. Absolutely. But it's 1885, you know. Mm. They're probably attributing things to that kind of stuff a lot quicker.
Yeah, I can imagine. But, I mean, it could also be a great way to just, you know, kill some of your family members. And, no, she exploded. Damnedest thing.
I mean, I'm just trying to think. How you could do that, you know?
How you burn,
someone that intensely and
burned him in
not
a different
get...
location, and then grabbed the ash and built a little small bonfire, and had her shoes and her feet and the shoes.
I mean, it's just a little bizarre that people are so enamored by the spontaneous combustion. We've forgotten all about homie who's just dead on the floor. Like, no one cares why he's dead or how he died or whatever. They're like, oh, but this chick combusted.
Well, we just haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's ruled later that Patrick died from asphyxiation.
Oh, so...
Like, maybe inhaling
the smoke just
exactly.
filled the room.
Yeah, because John is... upstairs on the second floor behind a closed door.
And he still was coughing.
And he still was coughing and having difficulty breathing in the middle of the night. But Patrick is downstairs off the kitchen with the door open. So if there was like a big flash and sudden like outpouring of smoke, it would affect him more than the person upstairs with the door closed.
Would they be able to scrub homie's lungs to like see if there was like particles of...
You know, I would. Oh yeah, you're saying the dead
like?
Guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
What did it smell like?
Well, we only have conjecture for
I
that.
Mean,
yeah.
I assume like you had a barbecue inside.
I imagine bacon. It smells like burnt flesh.
Yeah,
bacon and burnt hair.
Yeah. I don't know what I don't know what human flesh burning smells like, but I have to assume they always say
somebody did at the time.
Yeah,
you know?
It's
you
true.
You gotta do something with bodies and stuff.
Yeah.
Someone told me that you have to make sure that human flesh is cooked extra well done.
Oh, God. Was it Hannibal Lecter? Was it during your time interviewing Dr. Lecter?
In order to
we
eat
did
it?
More than interview.
Tristan.
Who taught him that? Me.
It was in a book, don't remember? He learned how to cook sweetbreads from a book. That's how they found him out.
I thought sweetbreads was just like the gland in the neck, like... That's not even...
Sweetbreads refers to any kind of, like...
guts.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. Yeah. Guts, brains, eyes, that kind of stuff. It's, like, a better way of describing them.
It's such a creepy word for for just the come children the have your sweet
bread, right? It sounds like something you'd want.
Yeah,
for sure.
It sounds like banana nut bread.
Yeah.
Come get cinnamon the toast crunch.
But no, it's brains. It's
like a gullet.
That have been like soaked in buttermilk and then fried.
I mean, everything tastes better fried, but still.
This is true. Throw some butter on that or some
breaded
oil.
Battered.
That's like how you solve every cooking problem in Kentucky. When in doubt, fry it.
Put some butter on it.
So I guess the only thing left to say about this one is that John Larson dies 2 weeks later, apparently from the inhalation of the dirty, greasy sooty-ness. The reason that he's exonerated from murder charges, like the reason they never charge him, is that they were actually able to go upstairs and see his outline on the pillow in the soot.
Oh.
So presumably he would have had to have been in bed when this occurred.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's, you can't really fake that.
Yeah. I don't know how you would, unless you like set a fire that you left behind and then got up in bed, like cleaned off the pillow real quick and then like laid
down.
Well,
I mean, I'm still, you know, thinking he might have killed his wife at a different location, grabbed some of
the ashes. Well, this isn't his wife. This is his employer.
Oh.
John Larson, the farmhand, to this couple who owns the farm.
Now
the couple dies in the night. John has no relationship.
Were they treating him well as a worker?
Yeah, that's got to check that.
They got him nice and drunk on Christmas Eve.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah. They probably shared some, you know, Yuletide merriment and maybe fed him and stuff. They let him sleep upstairs.
Maybe aliens came and, like, zapped her.
That's exactly. Know? I'm so glad you said that because it reminds me of Mars Attacks.
Right? Yeah.
When they, like, liquefy everything when they shoot somebody.
Exactly.
That would explain the sudden, like, burst and stuff. And, yeah.
Was this the time of Christmas trees and
I don't know, but... If there were, she was in the kitchen. So.
Yeah, maybe she had all that Christmas tree tinsel wrapped around her. She's like, I'm a Christmas tree. And then she like went next to a candle. Next thing you know.
Yep. She wrapped herself in gift wrapping.
So her really, really her only crime was being too festive.
Yes. Death by festiveness.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for that new single, Death by Festiveness.
I think that it's still very possible that this guy could have killed the wife of this guy and like taken the body and everything and brought it back and then like sprinkled. Yes.
Was there any motive?
He was lying on the bed.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know what the
motive at all.
I don't know what the motive would be, because these are his employers again. I mean. Maybe they had some money, but he was dead 2 weeks later.
The only other thing I could think of would be, like, if she faked her own death, killed her husband.
She hacked off her feet?
Or someone's feet. We never identified if it was her feet.
She's a peg-leg pirate somewhere, running around on
You got to do what you got to do to get out of abusive relationships, you know?
That's true. It's a dark reason for her. Wow. I mean, maybe. It's possible.
Could she have covered herself in alcohol and lit herself on fire? I mean, that wouldn't have burned that quick and that hot.
I don't think so, yeah. I don't think it would have gotten to, like, 2,500 degrees.
And not without burning everything else.
And she would have been screaming her ass off, waking everybody up.
That's true, too. Yeah, because... Go ahead.
Seems like a good way to go.
Quick.
Like, quick. Fire. No.
Yeah, she didn't even know was dead.
Yeah.
I'm good.
That's the way I'd want to do it.
Maybe Satan called her back to his domain. Like, she made a deal with him, and he's like, now it's time for you to come back.
You can't have your feet.
You must crawl around on your stomach like a snake.
Forced to walk on stumps for eternity. What would Matilda have done that was so bad? Just drinking on Christmas Eve?
Drinking on Christmas.
Is it possible that, like, lightning could have zapped into the kitchen? And she had, like, enough alcohol in her system that it just went kaboom.
I feel like that would leave some other evidence, like, of electrical burns coming in. Like, if you've seen a tree that's been hit by lightning. There's a lot of...
I've seen Jerry Bruckheimer films.
Okay. I feel like it wouldn't make sense that it left her shoes behind and her feet. Well, maybe they're rooted.
I don't know. Didn't affect the room at all?
I don't know. That's a
precise strike.
That's what I'm saying. You know, it's...
Oh, the roof?
If it's possible, then it could have happened.
If it's possible, then it could have happened. That's going to be our new tagline for this show. If it's possible, then it could have happened.
When I was in high school, I wanted to invite this guy to the Sadie Hawkins dance.
Mm-hmm. That's the one where the ladies asked the
men. Yeah. My friend Ricky. And I asked him, I made a mural and with like, it was like a reenactment of that scene from, what was that movie?
60 Candles?
No. The movie we were just talking about before we started.
Oh, God.
Turn It Up to 11.
Oh, it's Spinal Tap.
Spinal Tap. with Jesus in it, and it just said, like three people spontaneously combust every year. Will you go to do dance with me before I do?
Did he know the reference?
Yeah, he knew it. I knew it at the time.
Did it work?
The name of the... Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it did.
I mean, went. Of course.
Was it the best Sadie Hawkins ever?
I mean, yeah, I had a good time.
He knew
it was coming before it came, you know? I wasn't that.
Right.
He knew we'd already kind of agreed that it was going to... I was going to go. I'd be kind of pretty sure it's success.
Right.
In high school for me.
I got asked to Sadie Hawkins by a girl in the library, and she wrote it on a piece of paper, like just with a pen or something, and like held it up. And I was like, I can't read. I can't read what that says. I don't know what. And then we did that a few times.
Point, me?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And back and forth?
We went. It was fun.
Nice. Yeah. Mm. I mean, those promposals and stuff, that never happened when I was in high school. Yeah. It was just for the Sadie Hawkins, the girl just came up to me and was like, you want to go with me? And I'm like, yeah, nobody else. it was that simple.
Wow, you sure flattered her with that response. Yeah, nobody else is. So.
just was going through my mind. Okay. Of course, thank God somebody asked me.
I mean, I don't think I've ever been asked to go to one of those. So.
Oh, Tristan. Yeah. Oh, no. I don't know what to say. A girl asked me.
Life has turned around for me. It's all right.
Yeah.
I got asked to go to prom when I was a sophomore by a junior girl. That's how cool I was.
Oh my God.
That's right. T-Bird Turner.
That was my T-Bird Turner.
T-Bird.
T-Bird.
Like the car.
Yeah. Okay. Now whatever. I was like, okay.
That was my name for the morning announcements, and I always started it with a car noise. I go. I go, vroom vroom, it's T-Bird Turner. This is the morning announcements.
Yes.
That is the...
You're gonna start a couple of these episodes with that.
Vroom vroom.
That's the grandfather.
It's T-Bird Turner talking to you about spontaneous combustion. Oh, yeah.
That's the grandfather of the way you introduce this show.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yep. It's my origin story. I did broadcasting in the, whatchamacallit, speech, drama, and debate because they added drama, presumably because drama kids needed more stuff to do, I guess.
I did the announcements for the swim team. They let me announce, so then I tried to make it too fun.
Too fun? They're like, whoa, you calming down.
Just say who the numbers and the
You like names. Introducing them as strippers? Up next, we got John the Swim John
Nobody
Johnson.
Could hear me anyway. It was a great echoing place. I was just dicking around.
Yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I didn't do anything like that. I had no extracurriculars throughout high school. The only thing that I did do is I helped start the chess club. I was treasurer of the chess club.
There you go.
I don't know.
You guys got money that you had to keep track of?
I had to buy some boards.
At the end of school for senior year, they did the yearbook for us. And next to everyone's senior picture, they list all of their extracurriculars or sports that they participated in. And I always was like, how do you only have one of these? How could you possibly only have one? And yours would just be treasurer of the chess club.
No, it wasn't. They didn't publish that in the yearbook. It was, I don't know if it ran. It was
a spot of shame for the school.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I don't think it lasted after I left.
Just kidding.
That's just wrong. It can't be considered a club if it's just one person.
It's just Rob playing chess against himself.
Playing against an IBM computer.
Right.
Well, anyway, let us know what you think about Matilda Rooney. Do you think it was aliens that bust in?
I'm kind of leaning towards that.
Do you think it was a group of Bigfoot that had a bonfire in someone's kitchen?
Leave a feet.
Let us know what you think. You can find us on High Mystery on Facebook, highmysterypodcast@gmail.com if you want any kind of partnership with us. We're on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, highmystery.com if you want to buy a t-shirt.
Yeah. This Packwoods is still going. We're probably going to take it into the next episode.
Yeah.
So. I doubt it. It's pretty much... It's
pretty much cash.
Nah, yeah. We smoked it.
We crushed it.
To a nubbin.
We drained that Packwoods.
For High Mystery, I'm Colin.
I'm Tristan.
I'm Leanne.
And I'm Robert.
Thanks so much for listening.
Bye.
Bye.